This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed, and therefore should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discretion, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn of through this show.
I'm Renata Maniachi, and this is Let's Get Metaphysical.
In this episode, Ren interviews Jennifer Miller about the energy healing method known as cellular transformation.
Jennifer Miller is an international teacher and group process facilitator whose gift of bringing through transformational healing energies touches many lives the world over. She is recognized as a mentor and source of exceptional clarity. For 18 years, she has been deeply committed to the path of cellular purification, studying how our universe works through the lens of cellular healing and understanding the universal language of energy. Born and raised in Northern Ireland and now living near Austin, Texas, Jennifer is a licensed interfaith minister who weaves timeless wisdom into contemporary contexts. Her unique gift of awareness, clarity, and insight allows for true and lasting metamorphosis to take place in those who work with her. A few weeks ago, I hosted Jennifer Miller at my office in Washington, D.C. for a cellular transformation workshop over a three-day weekend. We had folks coming in from Canada, Costa Rica, and all over the DMV area, and it was incredible. I am grateful for the work that happens there within a group. I personally have never done such deep group work before. It's usually on an individual basis for me. And having other folks there, many of whom are my friends and colleagues and even clients, to be mirrors for each other as stuff came up for us and to watch it be transformed in other people and in myself in a cellular, physical way was just incredible. And I'm so excited to share this interview. This work for me personally was not easy to do. I was, and still am, going through integrating what I picked up throughout this workshop. For me, some of it has to do with unraveling a program around vulnerability and not wanting to go deeper with people and not wanting to make myself vulnerable and go deeper into love. So this was a workshop that pushed up a lot of stuff for me. And if you'd like to hear more about my experience, please join our Patreon and become a patron at $5 a month or more for this bonus content on my process with cellular transformation. It's really deep stuff and I'm still integrating it, and it hasn't been easy, but it's been really, really transformational, and I know it's heading me in a really good direction and helping along with my rebirth process that I've been going through. So are you ready? Then let's get meta. Hello, everyone. So today we are here with Jennifer Miller. We are here in Washington, D.C. She is in town for a wonderful cellular transformation workshop this weekend. We're so happy to have you. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Renata. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm really excited to talk to you about what you are bringing to our workshop in D.C. this weekend, cellular transformation. I've experienced this twice now, and both times I was floored, and it only took me the one time to know that I wanted to bring an instructor here such as yourself and share it with more people. Would you like to share an experience that you've had that you might consider to be metaphysical in nature?
Absolutely. I'd love to. I could describe my entire life at this point as being metaphysical in nature. Mm-hmm. So I think the most apt description would be the first one that I had, which was at this stage almost 19 years ago. That was a young one, just 20. I grew up in Belfast, or near Belfast in Northern Ireland, in the Troubles. Had a really tough time, especially during my teenage years. I suffered from bulimia and issues with food and diet, addictions, and heavy-duty depression, chronic fatigue, etc., etc. And was raised in a household where my mother came from a Catholic background and my father a Protestant background, and that was unique during the times of the Troubles, because that's what the war is about, obviously. Luckily, I was raised atheist, so I didn't have any spiritual connection, per se, other than the wild Catholic influence of my mother's family, who I loved to pieces. And there was definitely this wonderful spiritual component running through that. But up until this initial experience I had when I went along to an equivalent cellular transformation workshop with my teacher, who became my teacher at that time, an American healer who was coming in, flying in especially, and I was excited to go along. And
into Belfast?
To Belfast, wow. Yeah. All I knew was that he worked with cellular memory in the body, and it was a very spiritual experience. That's all I knew, and I just felt every cell of my body saying, yes, I'm going. I showed up. It was a few people sitting in a circle, maybe about 20 people sitting in a circle. He was talking. We were doing introductions. Within about 30 minutes of sitting in that space, I felt something happening in my body that I could only equate with those times when I was on drugs. And I felt quite terrified because I knew something was going to erupt, would have been the best way of describing it. And I wanted to run out of the room. And when it came to my turn, the teacher, the facilitator, he was not working with me per se, doing anything seemingly special, but clearly, and what I learned later was there was this intelligence, divine intelligence that had already been filling the space that he had learned how to channel or bring through that had clearly penetrated me and was working with me. And before you know it, I had quite an immense cathartic release. So for about 30 minutes, I was, you know, releasing, crying, shaking. It wasn't so scary when I broke through that initial film or layer. Then I just felt like, yes, this is astounding. Yes, because what it felt like was eons of stuff, heavy, thick stuff was being purged. I felt about 50 pounds lighter at the end of it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what happened to me, but it's as if every single cell of my body took a breath for the first time. Any skepticism that I had of this universe, of there being such a thing as a spiritual presence, a God, a greater intelligence, just went out the window. And I was absolutely floored. I was blown away. He didn't touch me. There was no hands-on healing. He just held space, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Didn't even at that point have me follow him in words, which is part of the modality that I then came to learn, part of the technique portion, which is to talk directly to the universe out loud and to let the facilitator, which I now am, guide the participant through a journey of cellular unraveling and purification. I just went through this experience, and he said afterwards, "You've just released your first cellular memories, my dear," or something to that effect. And that was it. That was the first of about four or five further similar experiences that weekend. And my whole life changed in a blink of an eye. I moved to the U.S. and yeah, really, really gave a bow to that first life and entered the second. So,
wow. Yeah. Thank you. It sounds like a rebirth.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
At that moment, everything changed after that.
Totally.
Wow, thank you. Mm. So your experience that you shared was with cellular transformation, and I'm going to continue to ask you about that. What is cellular transformation? How would you describe that to a newbie, and how does it work?
Cellular transformation is just a name given to a modality that I have studied now for almost two decades, immersed myself in deeply. And I think the simplest way to describe it is working with divine intelligence, working with the greater intelligence in our universe, learning how to get out of our own way so that we can access this intelligence and let it permeate our cells ultimately, the emotional body and the mental body too, but ultimately the cells of the body, so that it can begin a very powerful cellular purification process, an unraveling of epigenetically inherited memories from our ancestors. Everything that has been passed along through the generations that are, let's say, for example, our great-great-great-grandfather experienced an atrocity of some sort that was far beyond his capabilities to process and heal in his lifetime. At the energetic level, the trauma, which ultimately is simplified as contracting energy, it's a tension or a tightening and it's a cinching down, that's rooted in fear. Those energetic constructs or imprints get stored like snapshots of feeling in the cells of the body. Hmm. And whatever legacy is not cleaned up, becomes the future legacy of the future generations. And so a lot of who we think we are, a lot of what we are actually born into, even at the point of conception, what we inherit, is a culmination of a lot of what our ancestors experienced.
Wow.
Resulting in us. Then we grow up through this so-called cloak. Not only do we have the imprint or blueprint of what we came in with genetically or epigenetically, then with that foundation, combined with then our new fresh experiences in this lifetime, growing up, we accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. And I believe that not only in this lifetime do we typically come in and accumulate in the first decade or two or three or maybe four. Some of us keep accumulating until death, and we'll incarnate again and we'll incarnate again. So we do that over lifetimes, but we do that also in this lifetime. At a soul level, when we're ready, something happens, and the evolution of our soul hits a point where it's time to stop accumulating. It's like our soul gets its fill, so to speak. And that's when we have a metaphysical or a spiritual experience, where it seems like all of a sudden the heavens come down to meet us, and life is no longer this experience of grayness that is a form of karma building or accumulating, and it then takes on a whole new slant. Something cracks our cocoon, and it usually happens through some sort of nervous breakthrough, nervous breakdown, trauma pattern, but not always. For some, it can be gentle, but typically it like reminds me of the creation of Adam, like in the Sistine Chapel, of God reaching down with his finger to touch Adam's finger. And through one means or another, through a unique vehicle to us, God or the light or that greater intelligence in the universe, the Tao, Qi, will come down and touch us. And then it begins to work with us and for us and through us. And it has a very clear intention, which is to help us take our body through a resurrection, so to speak, or a purification. And my understanding of what it wants to purify us of are those heavier vibrations, old world mind, which you could call ego self, fear-based ego, that no longer serve us, that are rooted in contraction rather than expansion, which is the nature of the universe itself. Whether we like it or not, at some point we will have done our accumulating, and then it's time to clean up or clean out. So cellular transformation is one of many modalities. You know, at the time, I have to confess, interject a little confession here, that in my naive spiritual ego self, when I first had that awakening experience, I thought, holy bleep, there's nothing that compares to this on Earth. This is incredible. Wow, I wanted to tell every Tom, Dick, and Harry about it.
So for our listeners, and just to kind of recap what you said there, I think, because it's fascinating, not only are we born and we are inheriting through our cells, through our DNA, past traumas, past experiences that our ancestors have faced, be it slavery or the Holocaust or, you know, other, you know, wars, yes, or any other thing that it could be. Not only are we inheriting that into our physical vessel for this lifetime, we are also carrying with us on an energetic and spiritual level our own past lifetime baggage that mm-hmm. we have accumulated, or karma, mm-hmm. one might say, that we have accumulated maybe in lifetimes previous to this present one. So you're taking your ancestral DNA from this physical lineage, yes, that you're being born into, and you are melding it with any personal trauma or experiences faced in your own past lifetimes into this present being. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's, yes, not just one, you know, we go through this life, and a lot of folks, and it's their experience that the things that we accumulate in this lifetime are the things that we are working towards to heal, and that's it. But even just what you were saying is that we're bringing stuff in on this side, and we're bringing stuff in on this side, and we're accumulating, yes, things as we go through life based on how we were raised and the culture around us and what's, yes, expected of us and the choices we make, etc. It's a lot. And I'm really glad that you brought that up. It's incredible.
And we should not expect to be able to handle that alone, nor heal it alone. And when I say alone, obviously I mean with other human beings to help, but with a greater intelligence than our own. Because I've worked with thousands of clients over the last decade and a half all over the world, and many cultures, many religious backgrounds, and some of the layers, so to speak, because a lot of what we accumulate goes into our cellular memory as like layers of an onion, and as it comes out and peels off, it's similar. It's like different layers of contraction that unravel.
Sure.
And some of what we are wearing on the inside would really shock you to recognize. I mean, and the only thing that I perceive and believe can get in and unravel that is the light, is a greater intelligence than our own, greater mind, as we like to call it. Lesser mind can only do so much. Our intellectual intelligence can only do so much. So yes. It takes greater mind, which really its hub is in the Dantian. In Taoism, it's called the Dantian, or the Hara in Japanese. It's our center, which is right below our belly button. And many ancient traditions of the East, Buddhist, Taoist, be it the martial arts or swordsmanship, etc., they say they focus on the center.
Qigong,
Tai Chi, all of them. And allow that chi or that life force energy to bubble up from there. And once we learn how to relate to that, develop an intimate relationship with that, it can unravel us and do magic and actually get in and transform what we can, what we would take decades or lifetimes to do out of our own strength. So the art is really learning how to get out of its way. And that's a lot of what I learned in this work. It's now what I teach in this work around the world. And the light itself, when you sit in that container, the sacred space where we bring that light through, the light itself will teach you, unique to you, how to listen to it and get out of its way.
We're going into this workshop experience this weekend, which I'm really excited about. The two times I've experienced this were one-on-one and then one-on-two, kind of. And I'm curious how the work in a group setting can be so unique to each person. And I know that it can. I've heard from you, and I've heard from others who have taken these group workshops together. But I'm excited to experience that, because you'd think, oh, you're in a group, you know, how am I going to get my personal, individual, unique needs met? But it happens.
Very powerfully so, because the universe wonderfully uses our interpersonal dynamic and relationship with one another to tease and uproot things that we maybe could not get to just one-on-one or by ourselves. So it's amazing to watch how it can sometimes, for example, because doing the real work is a warrior's path. It's not easy, and not for the faint-hearted. You know, when you're not spiritually bypassing and you're actually doing the real work, it's not meant to be easy. So oftentimes, as the light is bringing out in the open a behavior pattern that is rooted in a protection mechanism that is has an ego shell to it that your spirit is ready to let go of, but the ego mind is not necessarily ready to let go of. Or if it was just your partner or your mother or your sister that was saying to you, you have this behavior and I don't like it, and you might not be inclined to say, okay, let me look at that and let me really take that in and see if I can work on it. But if you can have a whole group of people that in a very loving, gentle manner reflect back something, it can be a great cathartic way to see something in yourself, as one small example.
It's beautiful. And actually what you just said is really hitting me, because that has happened for me in the last 9 months. My mother has been saying a thing to me for a couple of years every once in a while. You XYZ, you know, I'm not going to go into it here on the air. But over the past 6-9 months, other people close to me have said this thing, hey, you're doing this thing and it's, you know, XYZ. Yes. And so now enough people have brought it up and been vulnerable, by the way, to bring it up to me. And, you know, it takes courage to do something like that with somebody that you love, or somebody that's making you feel a way that you don't want to feel.
Yes.
And I give them, you know, all the credit for that. And I finally was able to look at this thing that my mom has been trying to point out to me for several years, and have been really diving into it, because I don't want to be like that with anyone, let alone the people that love me the most and who I love the most.
Right.
So it's so interesting that you just brought that up, and what a beautiful way to have that reflected at you in a workshop like this. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
How can cellular transformation be helpful and for whom? You've talked about this already, but if anything comes to mind about, mm-hmm. you know, how you've seen it be helpful for people. I know you described how it's helpful for you, right. but with your first experience yes. and your introduction to it, is it for everybody or for who is it for?
Good question. The younger me would say it's for everybody. Right. Everybody and everybody needs it. But the wiser me would say, no, it's not for everyone. It's for those who are hungry and willing to change, looking for a spiritual component to their life. Those who are in pain, for sure. Physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain. If you're experiencing what you could define as a contraction in your life, a state where you feel stuck, held back, held down. If you're seeing patterns, but you can't get a hold of them. If you're in therapy and you've been in therapy for a long time and it just seems like you're skirting around an issue, chances are you're going to need the help of something greater than the human mind to get in there and do the real work. And this space that cellular transformation provides is one where I've had a woman once in New Jersey say, it's like doing therapy with God, because it is therapeutic. There is typical group dynamic therapy processes that are used and incorporated, but the difference is there is a profound intelligence that is undeniably the heart of God that is in there doing the work. So you learn how to ask it to come in and clear out roots inside of you that you know you've been tackling since you were a teenager or a little girl or a little boy or since 10 years ago. And one way or another, you're just not quite able to get down there. Then if you feel that, it's a good chance that that's the universe itself calling you for a deeper method of transformation.
I see this on your website. Somebody had described cellular transformation as it's like doing 2 years of therapy in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, my little taste that I've had so far, mm-hmm. I'm going to have more and I'm excited for that, that's accurate.
And there is a time and place for psychotherapy, and I'm sure you agree. And I absolutely advocate psychotherapy on every imaginable level. But there's a wisdom and a brilliance in our body that our recent industrial age or our Western mindset is cut off from, and we need to get in touch with that again. There is an intelligence in every single cell that if we learn to relate to and open up to, it knows how to heal us. You know, call that an external godlike force or an internal wisdom in the cells of the body. But I think everyone can benefit from that. But we have to be ready and willing also to surrender the ego cloak that gets in its way. And that ego cloak is made of fear. So if we're ready, we've suffered enough, quote unquote, suffered enough to say, all right, I'm ready to get out of this corner by facing fear, then the universe is right there waiting to meet us. If we're not really done yet with holding on to that fear and we want to hold on, then we may have a hard time in spaces where the light's coming through.
What you were just saying about the ability of this modality to really just unlock the resistance we have to merging with the spirituality, yes. and to moving past the fear when the physical vessel is ready. This can happen in many different ways, in many different modalities. It goes back to a theme of being ready for it and asking for it.
Yes.
And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because that's mm-hmm. powerful and important for people to understand.
And surrendering to its power.
Yes.
And learning how to build a new body and a new mind and an emotional capacity to surrender to the power
right.
of the universe. That takes a training. We got to train ourselves.
So Jennifer, how are you working with cellular transformation now? Mm. What does that look like in your life?
I travel internationally pretty much all the time. I live currently just south of Austin in Texas, and I'm home maybe half of the year, a little more than half of the year, with my family, and I do online sessions every day, almost every day when I'm at home, and I also do cyber groups. All of this is on my website, which is jennifermiller.org, Miller with an A, M-I-L-L-A-R, and And like I said, I travel to various different countries and it changes. I get invited. I don't market. I don't go out and headhunt a particular place. I get invited by people who've experienced the work. And I go to a city or it's a retreat or wherever and do 3, 4, or 5 day workshops. And they're very special and they are very powerful. And I owe my life to this work. I see it as a pay it forward type of thing for me. I would not be alive if it wasn't for meeting the light at 20 years of age. And so I just continue to look to surrender and get out of the way and allow this intelligence to take me where it wants me to go. And I believe every single one of us has that divine calling. And when we learn to relate to the universe directly, it will give us the mapping for that divine calling. And trying to find that and do that out of our own strength, it can take 10 times, 100 times more effort than if we learn how to surrender to ultimately the feminine. You know, really, if you want to label it, it's the feminine aspect of the universe, the intuitive, that is waking up now, waking up more than ever. And we can do our part to awaken the feminine on the planet. And I'm not talking pink frilly skirts. I'm talking the power, the volcano that's erupting, Pele in Hawaii. I mean, that kind of power inside of me, you, us, that is the feminine, that will uncloak her. But we can go outside and try to uncloak her in the world, and that's important. But the work that we are capable of doing now on the inside to uncloak her being trusting our own intuitive voice, our inner guidance system. And are we trusting, is this ego talking or is this her talking? Is this the universe? Is this the Tao or is this my trauma? And learning the difference. And you learn the difference by learning the language of energy. And I call it the universe's university. And this work and these workshops was my university. And so that's what I teach. I teach you how to read the language of energy and learn how to trust yourself at impeccable levels, a level of trust that samurais tasted, and a mastery that when you grab a hold of that and you've filtered through your own accumulation of stuff to the point where you rest on a pot of gold inside your lower belly and you act on that, there's a chi fountain or a kundalini fountain of light that comes through you all the time. And that will express itself unique to you in your personal calling. And I feel like that's what we're all here to do, ultimately. So our part, initially, is okay. Dear universe, great spirit, divine, whatever you personally want to call it. I call it the great spirit. Dear great spirit, here I am. Do what you will with me. I'm ready. I'm ready to do the work. I'm ready to show up. Teach me how to learn to live with you and for you.
Very well said. I want to touch on a few things. You brought up some wonderful things. You touched on the divine feminine, and I've been getting a lot of downloads about the divine feminine, divine masculine, way more than I will go into here. I want to have an episode on it soon.
Good.
But I did want to put in that, you know, when we talk about divine feminine, I'm sure you agree with me, is that we're not talking about female-bodied people.
No.
We're talking about the divine feminine in every being on this planet, because we all have the divine feminine and the divine masculine within us.
Yes.
And it's been a false belief that we're, in fact, supposed to find the rest of it outside of us, because it's all actually inside of us. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, because it's not about, you know, female-bodied people rising up and meeting and balancing the male-bodied people. It is about the whole world balancing the divine feminine energies and the divine masculine energies within us and around us and among us. And so I just wanted to add that in.
Beautiful. To help with that a little bit, if you could say that our physical form split into male, female, when androgynous, you know, there's many, many in-between forms now and unique forms. But I would see that more as the reflection of the energetics that's happening. Or you could say a mirage, let's say, just for the use of descriptive language, it's a mirage. It's a reflection or a mirroring of something that's happening energetically. I always say, like, what would it be like if I put put on your energy goggles and look purely at the language of energy level. The divine feminine.
That's what I do every day.
Good for you. I like your energy goggles. The divine feminine aspect of me and you and the universe is the language of energy. It's the creative intelligence behind all things. That's what we have. You could slam dunk with the word divine feminine, words divine feminine, right? Has nothing to do even with female traits, mm-mm, femininity. Mm-mm. And it's really important to distinguish that.
And certainly not the female body.
Definitely not. Definitely not. And so the divine feminine is simply an intelligence, has nothing to do with sex or gender at all. And the divine masculine is the part of us that puts her into form, that acts on her, that expresses her in this world. So without him, she's a theory. She's not in action, right? Hasn't come into form. It's like Adam, I guess, back to creation stories. And so I'll give you a real life example. You could be, I'm sure you are, a very intuitive person, and you could have a very strong intuitive hit to say something to someone. Let's say someone really pissed you off and you needed to say something to them. And it felt really strong and it was bubbling up from your Dantian area, your uterus, ultimately, that part of the body. But you held it back because you were afraid. Maybe it was your boss and you didn't want to lose your job, for example. Then you have a weak male. That's not your divine male. That's a weak male. And if you were acting on her immediately, then you got a strong male, which I would call the divine male. So as I've often called the divine marriage, is when that feminine part of us, which is the universe moving through us, is completely aligned with our male, which is the part of us that trusts her so impeccably that we never miss a beat and we always act on her without thinking. See, that's the key point. There's no split coming from our intelligence in the head that overthinks and compartmentalizes her and puts a cloak on her and shuns her.
Right.
That's gone and we're acting on her. You might think of the old martial artists with the long white beards who somebody's attacking them from behind and they feel it and swing around with their sword. For example, they're so tuned in and they act on every impulse as it bubbles up. That's the divine male and the divine female, or feminine masculine,
right,
in harmony right there. And I feel our world mirrors with the suppression of women. The female form is a clear graphic reflection of where we've suppressed that intuitive inner guidance system in all things.
Yes, we could go all night.
We could,
on this one.
Like, you know, just to finish up, my bulimia, for example,
sure,
that I had all through my teenage years and early mid 20s, was the result of that split. And where I did not trust my intuitive knowingness, my anger, I didn't trust my anger. I avoided and controlled my fear. I didn't trust when the feminine wanted me to face a fear. I would hold back. When I wanted to express a truth, I would hold back. I'd be terrified. I would be absolutely terrified. And my mind would be in there giving me a million excuses why. But when that split created such a craving and binging sensation that was out of control and reflected in many addictions. But as I learned to face the terror of acting on her being that intuitive knowingness that all the voices in my head were saying, you've got to be crazy, you can't say that, how dare you, that is rude, you know, you're being a bitch, etc., etc., then as I learned to not make those voices real, use my teacher, I needed a teacher to model back to me when I was on and off, and I wasn't always right, and I had to learn through trial and error. But as I learned to face those fears, I empowered my body. I empowered her. And a life that where the feminine is empowered inside of me is one worth living. One where she's completely suppressed is one where I feel suicidal. So that's how I cleaned up my history.
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to point out to folks who are listening that that goes both ways. Again, this is not just with female-bodied people. This is with male-bodied people also suppressing their feminine or their masculine. There was two things that you mentioned back about cellular transformation, you know, that modality we were talking about, that I wanted to just bring up, for mostly for folks listening. You did say one thing that you do currently with it is you see folks online.
Yes.
So you don't have to be present, you know, physically,
yeah,
in order for this modality to mm-hmm. be useful for you. So you see folks on Zoom or on...
Yes, on Zoom.
Yep, yeah.
And all over the world, any time zone from Australia to, you know, Antarctica.
Beautiful. And I wanted to just make that clear. So much of our modalities that have been highlighted here and will continue to be highlighted on this podcast can be done at a distance, including yes. healing touch and spiritual response therapy and other things. I also wanted to just go back to, in the beginning, when you explained your first experience with cellular transformation, you said that you cried for about 30-40 minutes.
Yes.
And that was a way for you to release something that was going on with you and transform your cells and your whole being. It sounds like you had a rebirth. I wanted to share my first experience a little bit, and just the symptomology that came with that experience. For me, it was a lot of, actually I cried to that one, but for the second one that I was part of, there was lots of yawning.
Yes.
And lots of sighing mm-hmm. and burping. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring that forward because, I wanted folks to understand that it's not all about crying.
No, it's not.
And it's not all mm-hmm. about,
it's not all releases. About
having, yeah, right. super cathartic tear releases, because yawning and burping and twitching and big sighs,
yes.
those are all ways of releasing energy mm-hmm. and helping transformation to take place mm-hmm. within the body and the energy field. So I just wanted to bring that
Beautiful.
Up and
you.
Ask you if there's any other ways that you've observed in your groups or in individual sessions for ways that folks release energy, because everyone is different and not all releases are going to look the same.
No, that's absolutely right on. Thanks. I think you covered most of them. I mean, ultimately, if you were to Google Kundalini awakening symptoms, this would articulate clearly what you would experience, because it is very much that fountain of light going off inside the self, and every person is unique. The chances of having a tearful release are pretty high, because it's also a beautiful mechanism for the light to move us out of control. But you're right in that it's not always cathartic in that sense. And often it's, like I said earlier about layers of an onion, they're energetic layers of contraction that are coming off the body, peeling off the body. It's the light going inside and inflating almost like a balloon or a deep breath and pushing out anything that's holding on. And so you might experience your whole left arm might suddenly hurt or tighten up. Your pelvis might suddenly lock up, but it might only last 30 seconds or 2 minutes. It could last 15 minutes if you're going through a big healing session yourself. And then all of a sudden, let's go. And usually when it's letting go, that's when the body can yawn or shake a little or cry, right. depending on the severity and depth of the issue. And also, this is working very deeply with cellular memory. And I also want to point out that this does not mean that you have to relive that severe sexual abuse when you were an infant or a child. Oftentimes I've seen the universe unlock a deep cellular memory, but you don't have to necessarily have the lucid, relived experience of it, but it will get underneath and transform the energetic level of it. And it doesn't mean that you don't remember. It's not like suddenly we, you know, remove a part of the brain that remembers something. You'll remember, but it won't be shrouded with fear. It's almost as if what this love, which is the universe, goes in and removes is the fear-based memory or the fear-based component of the memory that caused you to continuously brace up, even in your arteries. You might not be at a daily level remembering that trauma from your childhood or something that's from your mother's childhood, for example, but your arteries might, your nervous system might, your adrenals might, your stomach might, and so you'll be amazed to see what parts of your body can suddenly, you know, tighten up as the light hits you, and the next thing, whoosh, you feel almost as if there's a shower. You suddenly get a shower of golden, you know, droplets or goosebumps is a common one. I mean, just gushes of goosebumps as the synopsis of that original trauma lets go.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been wonderful.
It has.
And really informative for me. And I've got my wheels spinning about the divine masculine, divine feminine, and how they all fit together. And even more downloads, things brought through you. Is there anything else on your mind that you wanted to share around this topic that maybe you feel like we overlooked?
Our society puts so much emphasis on the mind and the physical. And, you know, we have the most phenomenal medical system. I really don't care what anybody says. God works through medical system. And many of us wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for that. And we have phenomenal psychotherapy techniques that really do save lives. We have medicine and psychiatry that really does save lives. And there's a space for all of it. What our society, I feel, is developing and will continue to develop more, and it's really my area of expertise, is the PhD in emotional science, the emotional intelligence and spiritual intelligence. We've been so wounded by dogmatic religion that shuns and puts another light on the intelligence that spirituality can offer. But in combination with emotional intelligence, that's where I see, and that's where that feminine, divine feminine is works. That's where she is. That's where she lives. And so I feel that for the West, for the world, beginning to relate to our emotional being and intelligence and get in there and work it and unlock it and understand it, give it the same amount of credibility that we give the mind and that we give the physical, it will be a tremendous thing for our societies. It's what's missing, in my opinion. And yet, I understand not everybody, some people will heal by changing diet and they want to stay in the physical realm. But many of us, our transformation exists in that realm, in the emotional realm. And when we can get in there and unlock those core emotional coagulated stuck patterns inside of us with the help of a spiritual intelligence, then the physical and the mental, everything, it's like green lights, all systems go, then suddenly everything frees up. So I would like to see, and I'm doing my part, to raise awareness for the importance of the study of the language of energy, which is the language of intuition, which is the language of emotion, which goes hand in hand with spiritual intelligence, which brought into the physical and mental realms creates awakening, really, and health.
Jennifer, thank you so much for doing this interview with me. I feel like I know you better now and your story, and also the modality that I'm really excited to experience more of. Mm-hmm. Thanks for what you do.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to learn more about cellular transformation, visit Jennifer's website, jennifermiller.org, or find this episode section on our website, letsgetmeta.com. In our next episode, Ren interviews astrologer and spiritual business alchemist, Silver Wainhouse. Like our show? Want to help us keep making it? Join with all the others who are supporting us on our Patreon at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Let's Get Meta is a production of the Hana Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. Audio editing and production by Zoe Ravenwood of Hatfish Digital Media. The voice of the credits is me, Aries. This week's music was Sunken Streets by Sro. Thanks for listening. Always a pleasure.